Shakarabo shatarabo sotora shikirere shakaba. Wow, man. I love praying in tongues. Hallelujah. Shakarako shikireko shakarabo skire. You know, there's a lot of peace when you just pray in the Spirit. There's a lot of, because His Spirit, He's the principality and power of peace. Hallelujah. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying the perfect will of God. Decreeing, speaking, framing. Just praying in the Holy Spirit. I love praying in tongues. It's such a wonderful gift. If you love God, you love everything He does. Hallelujah. Shakariko Shema. I want to talk today about God and Satan encounters. First-hand encounters. there's so much whack when you talk about God. Hallelujah. And it's fun to see Him just destroy the devil. Oh man. Let me tell you about a dream I had of Satan one time. It made me laugh. Because it's just this particular time in my life when he was trying everything. And just to destroy me. Like, that's nothing new. That's all he knows, you know. He's a loser, though, because here we are, still happy and praying in the Holy Ghost and enjoying the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Anyways, I had this dream, and Satan comes in this whirlwind. You know, he's the deceiver. He tries to copy everything that God has. I'm having all these... Hallelujah. Anyway, I'm just remembering a lot of stuff right now. And Satan showed up in this, like, orange, that was the color of the dream, and he showed up in this whirlwind, trying to imitate God, you know? And he's like, the great Lucifer, and I'm like, what the heck? And I'm in my bed, like, this is a dream, and I'm watching this big whirlwind of the great Lucifer, and that's what he's saying. And I wake up and I got girls in bikinis beside me on a bed. And I'm like, in the dream, I'm on this bed with these girls who are in bikinis. And I guess there's a spirit of lust there that I'm supposed to do something with these girls. But I looked at the whirlwind. It wasn't the whirlwind of the Lord. And it was this orange color, so since then I've had this thing against orange, but God's, you know, redeemed everything, so. I'm like, get out of here. I'm not going to touch these girls, because I know that it's going to bring sin into my life. This was before I was married or anything. And so I laughed at them. And then it just rattled up, and he failed, and I don't know. He tried to get me so many times through, like, lusting after these girls. And lust of the flesh, that doesn't work, the pride of life, and I'll try anything just to hook you in. And I don't know, it kind of made me laugh, because it was a really pathetic attempt. I don't know if he was, like, trying to use reverse psychology on me or something, but it wasn't working. I thought it was hilarious and a very weak attempt to try to portray himself as God. And then, I don't know, further on down the road, I run into this girl in a church meeting, and she puts her arm around me, and this is before I'm married or anything, and I was just dealing with this issue where, like, yeah, I used to go to church to look at girls to find a wife, but this particular time, this girl comes up, puts her arm around me, and is like, God, is this the one that's going to be my husband? Like, whoa! How about coffee? You know, easy, girl, whoa! And then I could feel the lust spirit coming off of her. And I wasn't sure if it was me that was lusting for her or if she was lusting for me. And then I was like, whoa, chill out, man. Like, you know, let's drink some coffee together or something. Like, you know? And then later on, she was trying to go over this Proverbs 31 girl, like, just, I told her, these are the requirements. And then, this is your checklist, girl. Because, I don't know, she was a little bit, I think she's a little bit weird in the head and kind of freaked me out. Like, she would, like, lift her shirt up and stuff. Like, I mean, this is in church. And then she'd get pulled aside by other girls. Hey, you can't do that. And, like, not all the way over her head, like, just kind of lifted. Weird. Like, she was a demon. And then, actually, the night before she did that, I had a dream. And it was a parabolic dream. It wasn't actually literally hell, but it was a symbol of a dream that God was warning me. And in this dream, I went down these stairs, and all these long, like, flimsy arms were trying to get me. And I looked around, it was utter darkness. It was basically a parabolic vision of a dream of hell. And then all these arms are trying to grab me and trying to pull me in, but I keep walking. And then I escaped somehow. I went out this door. Jesus is the door, you know. And then I woke up. I'm like, what was that all about, God? And then I believe it was Proverbs chapter 5 or Proverbs 8. You know, it talks about this whore. Her steps lead down to hell. You know, few men escape her. You know, kind of. I'm like, wow. And then I meet this girl who's trying to, like, seduce me, and then later on I found out that she actually already had another boyfriend, but she puts her arm around me. It's messed up. So listen, when the enemy comes in and he puts forth his hand, he tries to show you things, he's always overplaying his hand. Those are the things that you can just pray against and break those assignments. Yeah, he's trying to throw lust on you. He thinks he's God, trying to imitate God. All you gotta do is just come again. That's obvious. Like, if you have a dream like that, say, well, God, right now, in Jesus' name, I bind that spirit of lust. It will not come near me. I break its power, and I release my hands into your life in Jesus' name. My life into your hands, I mean. And I just break the power of lust over my life. I have the mind of Christ, crucify my flesh, put it all to death by the Holy Spirit power in me, and just release that power to obliterate and cancel all the assignments of the devil. And, yeah, it's just, and then when you meet this, I don't know, I could have rebuked her, but I didn't know. I was like, this is all kind of new stuff to me. And so that was some of my dream encounters, but actual encounters with the actual spirit. I don't know if this was Satan himself, but this was a familiar spirit. The first time I ever met a familiar spirit is I came. And I went into this house, and I could just feel this whole oppressive atmosphere as I walked through the door. I'm like, what the heck's going on in here? And then this person told me, well, my brother went to go see a psychic today. And she told me what the psychic said to her, that he's going to basically have some kids, and the kids are going to die. And, you know, it's, I'm like, what? Those are word curses. So I just, right there, as soon as the enemy manifested, I said, I take authority over those word curses and I break all those curses. His children will not die, but they will live and serve the Lord. And, you know, I just reversed it. Just speak the opposite of the plans of the enemy and release the plans of God. God is for life. Shaka. The life on that. Hallelujah. So whatever the enemy's thrown over you, like depression, your future looks dim, your future looks hopeless, just speak the opposite. Decree what God has said. You can use the Bible, you can use prophetic words that people have spoken over you that have life and spiritual substance on that, and you speak those words of life. It's the same way, you're made in the image of God. God framed the words through the Word of God. He created the, you know, everything we see came through the Word of God. And so you speak because you're made in God's image, and you just destroy the works of the devil. You know, you can cast out spirits with a word. You know, you can just destroy the works of the devil with God's word in your mouth. Hallelujah. So anyways, yeah, I broke all those word curses. Then I went to the prayer meeting the following night, and I could not believe that spirit followed me. It's a familiar spirit. Because when I went to the prayer meeting, I was like, man, the pastor asked Pastor Gene to pray for me because, like, oh man, there was like a psychic came and I had this confrontation and I rebuked all these word curses and I think I need prayer now because that thing is following me around. And and then as soon as I closed my eyes, I could see it. It was a spirit and I knew what spirit it was. It was a familiar spirit. I'm thinking about, was that Saul? He went to go see the witch at Endor and a familiar spirit. Whatever, I don't know. That just popped in my brain randomly. But I got some prayer. I saw the thing in the spirit. It looked like a sheet, like a spirit. It's just a demon thing that just knows your life and who cares? Just use the sword of the spirit to destroy all fallen spirits, like demon spirits. Our battle is not with flesh and blood, but it's with all these wicked spirits in the heavenly places that we are to take out as we rest in Christ in heavenly places and then dominate that area with life and drive out all the darkness. Let there be light, and then that darkness has to flee. So, like, yeah, that was a couple familiar spirits, Satan. And they overplay their hand by telling you what they're doing, and you just, it's really easy to just don't believe the demon. Believe God. And speak words of life. Holy shaka. First time I ever seen, well, I seen Jesus, you know, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, I believe, was the last one I seen. But I've always had, like, these parabolic visions, symbolic of Him, like, I remember the first time I ever saw Jesus, like, I was in this meeting, and I had my hands raised, and I'm worshiping. The guy at the front said, God is here, like the pastor, and then we all, like, nobody went to the front, and then he said it again, didn't you hear me? God's here. So we all went to the front. Well, not all of us. I tried to drag my friend. He wouldn't go. I guess he had some kind of weird fear demon binding him. And I went to the front. I put my hands up like this, and I was like just worshiping God, like I could feel the presence come, and then my eyes just opened up to see Jesus on a cross, and His blood was pouring out of His hands, and I saw the blood. I was like, I wanted to touch Him. I mean, I feel like the love of God. It's coming like through my entire being, and I saw the blood falling down from the cross, from His foot, and it just, whoa! I feel the Holy Spirit right now, and it just. His blood hit my face and it rolled off, hit my face in the spirit and rolled off as a tear in the natural realm. Here come another drop, hits my face in the spirit as blood rolls off as a tear in the natural realm. I was in perfect sync, body, soul, and spirit with God. And I saw the love of God. I saw Him. I'll boast nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that resurrection life just going through me as I surrender to the blood of Jesus. As I surrender to Jesus, I just receive His love. I receive the life. And it was so real to me that I stretched harder. I'm like, I gotta touch Him. I gotta touch Him. Because He's touching my heart. And I reached so hard that I was sore for 3 days. Like, I stretched too hard where I actually injured myself for 3 days. In the natural, I'm just trying to... And it's funny, now that I think about 3 days, it's like he went into the grave for 3 days. I don't know if there's a connection there, probably. But that was my first real tangible, like, vision of, like, Jesus. And I was just a baby Christian. And I would see it over and over again. It was just... There may be like a crowd of people around you, and Jesus is just looking at you. And if someone else, like, it's just very personal. Another time I was just lifting weights in my basement, and I had this delirious song called Obsession play. And he goes, and my heart burns for you. And as it's playing that part, like, I'm just lifting weights. And it breaks into that part. Na 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 na. And like Jesus. I see that vision again. And then Jesus is like on the cross again. This is my introduction to Jesus. And it comes to that part. And my heart burns for you. But he's singing it on the cross. To me, as I'm on the earth lifting weights, he's singing, and my heart burns for you. And I realized, whoa, that is why Jesus came. That's why Jesus died. It's because he loves me. His heart is burning for us. And tears again, like, oh my gosh. The love of God that passes knowledge. That encounter was so tangible that the love of God just went right through me. And I couldn't even lift weights anymore after that. I had to stop and just sit out and just cry. I was like so touched in my heart that someone could love me that much. And then I started moving on through life, and the more I'd worship God, the more demons around me would start just manifesting on me. And I realized the more you worship God, the more his spirit floods through you, and that light, the light of the world, exposes the works of darkness. So if there's no demons confronting you, maybe you just need to up your worship levels a little bit. Or maybe we just need to up our heart connection with God, you know? Because they will. When they see Christ in you, they try to shut you down. And that's why I have all these encounters with demons and Jesus and angels and just life. And bless my mom's dad. She used to pray for me a lot because I needed it. I mess up a lot. I get confused reading all these Jehovah's Witness things, and like, what is this? And I get caught up in doctrine and debates and pride and just filthy demonic stuff. But then Jesus would always deliver me because I would pursue him with my heart. And the first time I ever saw the Father. I gave these testimonies in another video, but they're so powerful to me. Is like, I was reading Revelation chapter 3 in a Bible study, and it exploded off, like the words just exploded off the page, and I kept stopping the one who was teaching the Bible study, the pastor. Maybe I need a little bit more self-control, or I'm in process, you know. I think we all are until we just start glowing and just walk through walls and stuff and just, you know, until we look on earth as we do look in heaven. So I said, like, yeah, there's something about this scripture, like, to him who overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and sat with my Father in his throne. What does that mean? I don't understand it, but like, wow, we get to sit inside the throne of God? I mean, it doesn't say on. I was reading the old King James where it says sit in. It's like, what does that mean? You sit in a realm? You sit in the glory? Or is it actually literally on the throne? Or is it in the throne? It says it's in the throne. And what does it mean, though? What is God saying here? And nobody had the correct interpretation. And then a few days later, I'm driving in my car. I'm interceding for someone. Like, my heart was broken at this time. And I don't know what to do, how to fix this situation. I just feel destroyed as a person. And I was like tears, weeping, crying. And I was just praying in tongues. And I had this sermon going through my phone as I was listening to a podcast. And someone's preaching, and I'm just like, shakarabakura, I'm driving my car. And I'm just praying for God to heal my heart, because my heart has been absolutely broken and devastated by this particular person. And I don't know what to do. I'm really frustrated. And as I'm praying, I'm like, shakarabakura. And it's weird, because I could see both dimensions at the same time. And all of a sudden, like, this realm opened up, the manifest presence of God. Like, I mean, this glory makes me, I can feel right now. Wow. this glory realm just open up around me. And I'm still holding the wheel, but my spirit man is holding somebody's arm. And I know it's my Father. I'm holding his arm. And I'm in this absolute love. And it just billows and waves of love is just going right through me, coming right from my Father. I couldn't see his face. All I know is I'm holding his arm and I'm watching the road driving, but I'm also seated with Christ in heavenly places as well at the same time. So I'm well aware of the spirit realm and I'm holding my Father's arm. And then I know that he's looking at something. We're in a different dimension, far above the earth, far above, like way out there somewhere, you know, in heaven. I was like the third heaven. The peace in the atmosphere, the love that, oh my gosh, goes through you. But something was capturing my Father's heart. Because I noticed that he was not looking at me. He was staring into the earth. What is he staring at? I thought. So I was trying hard to see what he was staring at. And it was amazing because my vision just got supersonic where I could just see like super, super far. It was like I was just going through eternity. Boom! My vision just went vroom, like down through this, almost like, I don't know how to explain it, like Star Trek, you know, when they go on the warp drive, like that. Boom! My vision went like that. Down to the earth. Down to this person. The very person who devastated me. Who betrayed me in the worst possible way that anyone could betray anybody on the planet to me. And okay, by this time the tears were rolling down my eyes from the love, and I could not believe it, because it's like God was panting, just the love that I was feeling there. He loved that same person with the exact same unconditional, unmeasurable love that just overflows everything that you ever know about God. You have no idea. And I see him just pant, just wants to love this person on the earth. And I notice that this person could not receive it because of unbelief. This person could not receive the love of God because this person was living in sin. And it was like, the worst thing about it is there's so much glory, there's so much love, there's so much peace, there's so much life, and this person cannot receive it. I felt like compassion. Before it was like this person's to destroy me, this person's out to get me, this person's wounding me, this person, like this, there's this like conditional love in my heart towards this person. But when I see it from God's perspective, it's like, oh my gosh, if only this person can have the love of God more than I'm having right now. You turn from sin instantly. And I just like, I realized that all the love that I had towards this person was conditional. That if this person would talk the way I talk, believe the way I believe, I would love this person. Or if this person met my standards, I would love this person. But God loved this person unconditionally, no matter what, even if he destroyed one of his children. The worst possible way. And then just kind of lifted off after that. And I repented. I was like, God, I'm so sorry. I have been loving conditionally, whether people would, if they would treat me good, I would love them. But if they were treating me like harshly and mean, I wouldn't love them. I'd pull my love away. But you love them unconditionally. And it wasn't that you were giving them love. It's who you are. It just flows out of you. Forgive me, God, for not loving unconditionally like you. I had no idea this existed. I had no idea this nature was accessible. And I met the Father and he was unconditional love. It doesn't matter what the person did or what we do. His love does not change because God doesn't change. And God is love. I was so floored by the Father that It's easy to love once you've been in His presence. Freely you have received, freely give. You can give unconditional love easily. Once you've seen His nature, when you're with Him, it's like not that you just see what He's like. His nature enters you, and it activates in you, so you can walk in unconditional love too. That's why it's so important to worship. Because worship brings you heart to heart with God, and then you take on the nature of God by going from glory to glory. What God is like to what God is like. And it changed me. That was a mark in my life where I was marked for God. Yeah, holy shaka. And it still hurts, like some of the stuff when people hurt you, but like you can just draw from God now. He's your, where you had a wound before, it becomes a golden armor, becomes a place of glory for God to flow through. And just, someone might spear you, and then what comes out, the flesh or the spirit, God's spirit? And that was my encounter with the Father. And then I had an encounter recently with Holy Spirit, where I was just in this meeting, and I just went there out of curiosity. I don't know who this guy, someone told me his name. I forgot it again. Bale Mumby. I can't remember his name. I don't even know how I remember Mumby. It's just so odd. But he was preaching. He had a prophetic conference about, you know, an hour's drive from where I live. And I went down there. There was three sessions. The first session was extremely boring and felt oppressive. I'm like, oh, I've made a mistake. I should just get out of here. I guess there was something that had to be plowed through the atmosphere. I don't know. But I went to the second session, and wow, it was night and day. You know, he was preaching about something. He was teaching us how to see. That he used this really cool example. Like, this, if you want to see, like, prophetically or in the spirit, you've been seeing your whole life. You just don't know it yet. You probably thought it was your own mind. But we have the mind of Christ, right? Like, the enemy will put a thought in your mind, like you see yourself having sex with this woman that's not your wife, or you see yourself just stealing something that doesn't belong to you. That's the enemy tempting you, you know, with the mind of the flesh. Or God can give you a vision, just like He's given me visions. He can put a thought in my mind or in my heart, because we have the mind of Christ, so He can use His mind. Yeah. Take my heart, Lord. Take my mind. Take my body. Take everything of me, God, and use it for Your glory. Hallelujah. And I'll give you what He taught us for me real quick. He used an elephant, but I'll use an orange. Okay, so do you see an orange, like just an orange, a piece of fruit, an orange, there it is, in your imagination. If you can't see it, then try harder. An orange, there's an orange. Now close your eyes, and can you still see that orange? And see, I just put a thought in your mind, alright, and God can put thoughts in your mind as well, and He uses that same screen. We have the mind of Christ. The devil uses that same screen, your imagination. So sanctify your imagination, cast down every wicked imagination. So you cast those down, but then you lean into what God is showing you, and you'll just, like, it's awesome. We have the mind of Christ now, and God will give you, that's the screen that God uses to give you, like, words of knowledge, visions. I mean, where else did you think you're going to see it? With your natural eyes? God is spirit. Yeah, he uses all sorts of ways to speak to you. He can speak to you through audible voice, visions. He can put you in a trance where you see a vision. A trance is just a state where you can't manipulate the vision. I've had many of those. Well, not many, a couple. Anyways, back to the thing. So I'm sitting in this Mumby guy's meeting, and I don't know. I felt like the glory came in, like the glory. Just this awesome realm came in as he's talking, and I'm so distracted by this man off to my. I think he's off to my left. I was sitting. Yeah, he's off to my left, manifesting this awesome presence on me. I thought, wow, is this an angel or is this Jesus? Is this the Father?
this the Holy Spirit?
Like, I went to look at him. He didn't have a face. It was just like, there's no face, but I could see the outline of a man in white, this purity. And he's manifesting this peace, this realm of the presence of God. It's just coming right out. Whoa, I feel him again. Woo! Jesus. And this peace is just coming from this man or whatever over to my from my left. And I look back over at this Mumbi guy, and it's like I can see him, but it's like almost like the everything's going like blacking out or waiting out or just kind of fading. Yeah, that's the right word. Just kind of fading into the background. And I'm really distracted by this man. I just want to go near him. Just that such a welcoming presence of love and peace. So I just go back and forth between Mumbi and the man over here. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, I'm getting so hungry for God. I gotta know who this guy is, or who this man in white clothes or white whatever is manifesting this peace. I have to go see him. So then I decide in my heart that I'm gonna go near him and I'm gonna see his face. I want to go see him. And I just thought that in my heart. So I got to see him. And then I'm walking with him, holding his hand, and I'm walking down this narrow path. And it's so beautiful. It is like heaven. It probably was heaven. Because I'm walking with this man without a face. I still can't see his face. All I know is his clothes are like this white, pure, glory, love, clothes. I don't have the words to explain it. And I'm walking with him. We come up, we see all these hills, and on these hills are all these little tiny houses. And I notice that these little tiny houses have the exact same substance as his clothes. This white, pure, glory, peace, spirit substance coming off of them. And I'm like, God, what are these little houses on the hills? And he said, he's quoted a scripture to me. It was Matthew. He just basically said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. The light of the world. And it's like, the reason that we're the light of the world is because the world is in darkness and it needs the light. And these houses, the reason that they have the same substance as his clothes is like, it's him coming through the houses. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost, manifesting his spirit everywhere we go. We got to be open. We got to be on earth as we are in heaven. We're a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden, but gives light to everyone who's in the house. It manifests the Spirit of God to everyone who is in the house. No matter whether they're in sin, darkness, witches, warlocks, Christians, Buddhists, Jehovah's, we still manifest the light of God. Whoever's in the house, whoever's around you, we baptize them in the light of God. Let there be light. And Satan will soon crush Jesus will soon crush Satan underneath our feet. The principality of peace will come through our hearts, sovereignly above him, through the houses, his temples of the Holy Spirit, crushing Satan underneath our feet as we take our rightful place in the body of Christ. And I came out of that, and I was like, whoa, I believe with all my heart, that was not an angel, that was Holy Spirit. I could not see his face. And just his spirit is so pure, so you feel safe. You feel secure. He's the comforter. You just feel like you want to be with him forever. And nothing in this world could ever even come close to just standing beside him, without not even using words, just to stand in his presence. Nothing in this world comes close to being with God. I'll tell you my other face-to-face encounter with Jesus in a minute. before I tell you that, though, I've only been to a meeting like this once in my life. And it was a man named Bob Edwards was preaching. And I missed the first day, and I made it the second and the third day. And I believe it was the second day that he was preaching. Like, he even took us onto the streets to evangelize, and he showed us how to look in the spirit to see who's ready, and so you can evangelize to them and, you know, introduce them to your best friend, Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, Father God, hallelujah. And so, you know, it was interesting. This guy was the real deal. And he gave us his testimony, and it was so powerful. And he started talking about the beginning of time. He's like, before God created the heavens and the earth, he was a perfect circle of love. And as he was talking about the Holy Spirit, his face, like right in front of my eyes, it just turned, it's the same thing that I saw with this Mumbi guy or whatever, but like 10 times more extreme. His face just started glowing in the dark, and everything else that I thought was light was just kind of going in the background. And as he started talking more and more about Holy Spirit, he's beautiful, he's wonderful, and his face would just get brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter, and it just filled the room with the life of God. I started weeping, just staring at this man to see what's possible. It's like his face lit up like a light bulb right in front of my eyes. And to check my natural eyes, I was seeing in the spirit, there was like no veil. Where's the veil? What is this? Is this the natural eyes? Is this the spirit? What am I seeing? Tears, the presence, the life. And I could not believe my eyes. I've never been in a meeting like that. I've never seen this manifestation through anybody. It was like Moses. This guy was so close to God that God would just come right through him. He's like, oh, Holy Spirit's moving over here, and then boom! Five people just break out laughing. And then he would come up to people and he would just say, see, you don't have to push people over. Why don't you let God do the work? And you just put his hand, he lined us all up, and he wouldn't touch us. He would just like, just touch the Holy Spirit. Thicken your presence, Jesus. Thicken your presence. And then, boom, everything just went white. And we all just went like dominoes. And listen, I used to take courtesy falls, but then I stopped doing that. I'm like, well, I feel like I'm faking it. So I'm not going to take a courtesy fall for anybody. I don't care if it's Benny Hinn or the most famous evangelist and they put their hand on me. If I'm not going to fall over, you're not going to push me over. It's going to have to be the power of God. And so as I'm standing there, he did not even touch me, and I'm boom. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it didn't go black, it went white. And I'm just like, I was taught the rapture theory. I'm like, oh my gosh, I was in a meeting and we just had the rapture. We had the rapture. And I'm like, wait, I feel something on my back. It feels like the floor. So I open up my eyes and I look over. Oh, there was more bodies beside me. I thought I was in heaven. It's like, oh man, I thought for real we had the rapture, man. Because that's what I was taught. And, oh man, that's the only grid I had for that. But the point is, like, the power of God was so powerful that it overpowered my body. What was that, John? I fell at his feet. Is that a dead man or something? Or Daniel? Or you need to be strengthened, you know? It's like, you lose all the strength in your body, but you're so empowered by his love and his presence that you feel like you're in heaven. Because I probably was in my spirit. I was in my spirit, heavenly crisis. It's hard to talk right now. I'm kind of excited. Heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Release more visitations and encounters to everyone who's listening this far, God. I just pray that you open their eyes of their understanding, that they will know the riches of your inheritance in the saints, God. Christ in them, the hope of glory. That's not just for, you know, I'm just some dude. I don't have a ministry. I don't have like this. I'm your bro. If God's doing this stuff to me, he'll do it to you. It'll just happen through hunger. Same with that Bob Edwards guy. Like, you'll see stuff like this. You'll see kingdom reality manifest, like, just crashing into your world. And you realize, like, well, you have the real world because you have the kingdom of God and you have the kingdom of heaven. Then you can come crashing with that real world into this natural world. Just baptize people. A light that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. The light of the world. Hallelujah. Jesus passed the torch to you. Burn. He put himself in you to burn. Hallelujah. So another thing, like after the meeting, this lady came up to me. She prophesied over me. She was like, yeah, God's given me a gift. Can I pray for you? I looked at her to see if there's demons in her. And she's like, it's okay. I'm clean. I was like, sure. And then she started prophesying over me. She's like, you're going to have dreams and visions. You're going to see past the darkness. You're going to blah, 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 blah. And as she's talking, her words are just like power hitting. It's hitting my spirit, man. Like my stomach. And I stood there shaking for half an hour after she spoke. This is all the same meeting. So the next day, I go there for the last meeting. Oh my gosh. We have the altar call or whatever. Not even the altar call. It's just the glory release time of the meeting or whatever. You tell us what the Holy Spirit's doing and what he's doing. And there would be evidence and presence and spirit. It was so amazing. And then the fear of the Lord. I've never felt this like this before in my entire life. I've had the spirit of the fear of the Lord, you know, visit me. But this was like way too intense. Because this was the first time I ever experienced the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Where I was standing there waiting for some prayer or something. I don't remember what I was standing there for, but my whole body was just shaking under this power. And it felt good, but it was so pure and so holy that I'm like, oh my gosh, one wrong thought, one thought of lust and I'll be obliterated. And it's like, would God even know that I was obliterated? Because there's so much power here and it's so holy here that I can't sin. I just have to keep my heart on thoughts on God. I'm freaking out, you know. Think about God. Think about God. Don't think about anything else but God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. God. And I reached out. I looked down. My knees are like shaking in the natural. So I reached down to grab my knees to try to calm them down. And then my arms started shaking. It was like, there's so much power here. What did Moses say? I exceedingly fear and quake and shake or whatever. You know, So this is nothing new. This is all in the Bible. But I mean, man, the power of God. Wow. It'll change you. And then I'll give you a quick testimony. I have another one about Jesus. When I saw Jesus, I couldn't even talk about it for about 2 to 3 months. Because every time I try to tell people this is the first time I've seen Jesus face to face. I began weeping. Like, I can't even talk about it. Because, oh my gosh. Just the love. He looks right through you with his eyes of eternity. They're like this blue, eternal love, just of oceans, infinitely, like, there's no words. And he goes right through you. And you'll do anything because you know he's God. I'm so much, there's such a realm here, holy. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, aren't you hungry for God? Don't you want more? Don't you want more of God? You know, you can draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Yeah. He's already drawn as near to you as you will draw near to him. He's come and he's given his life to love you. He's given up. He left everything and that, all this glory that I'm talking about, all these realms and love and perfect glory and this peace, and he left it all to come to the earth to die for us. So that when we die to ourselves, he can pick us up in his resurrection life and take us right back into glory where he came from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Shaka, I just love you, Holy Ghost. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Father. Thank you for the testimony of Jesus being the spirit of prophecy, that these encounters are just walking with God. It's all it is. And along the way, you run into some demons, and you kind of laugh at them, and sometimes you get beat up a little bit, you get back up again, shrug it off. Jesus, I surrender all again. I give you everything again, because when I give you everything, I'm not holding anything. But you and your heart and your life and your power and everything that you are in my heart, God, I just trade everything for you. Because you gave up everything and came to the earth for me, so I can give up everything of the earth and come to you. Thank you, God, for the grace of God. I thank you for, I receive that grace, and I release that grace right now to everyone who's even just pressed play. Just hit them with a tidal wave of your peace, God. Fill them with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Surround them with the angelic hosts, God. The angel of the Lord encamps round about those who fear him. So thank you for surrounding everyone with your Father's wraparound presence, God. Thank you for filling our spirit with life more abundantly, as that abundance of life just flows out our gates. It just makes a new heaven and a new earth. Hallelujah. So yeah, those are some of my encounters with God and with Satan. And trust me, the encounters with God are way more glorious. Oh, hallelujah. You ought to encounter God. You know, the knowledge of good and evil is, it'll never lead you to an encounter with God. It'll just lead you to the debates about God, what God's like, and you sit there and you fight. Who cares, man? When you've encountered God, you get to speak words of life, and if they receive it, they receive it. If they want to fight it, then they want to fight it. Whatever. Release the life. Be a life-giving spirit, just like Jesus. Hallelujah. We're made in the image of God. He's a life-giving spirit. Just release the life of God through your gates, through your heart, through your mouth, through your words, through your actions, through your deeds, through your thoughts. Meditate on things above, and you will be the light of the world, because that's what you are. You are the light of the world. We are. The entire body of Christ is a light to the world. And if the world needs a light, that tells me it's in darkness. Hallelujah. So we got a job to do. Love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. Hallelujah.